Podcast is intended for mature audiences. The views and opinions expressed are those of the panelists and do not reflect in any way those of the podcast partners, sponsors, or affiliates. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
BoxingVoice.com.
All the guys want. I want what Mayweather got. I want what Mayweather got. You done bust your ass like Mayweather. I was trying to fight every fight. I sacrificed a lot. To get to where I got you.
What do you bring to the table?
Let's get this on.
Where's like this? Wait.
All right, that's it. Hold on. Bernard, everybody calm down.
Man, you know how these bitches is in the sport. Total disrespect. Kid has no class, no style at all. I sacrificed a lot.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Boxing Voice Radio. Spontaneous. Hopefully you signed up the Patreon. You got the bat signal. We're going to be talking a little bit of Rigondeaux and Joseph Parker versus Huey Fury. Definitely some hardcore subjects, to say the least. But some breaking news. Huey Fury and Joseph Parker's fight now. Taking place in Manchester when it was supposed to happen in Auckland the first time around. And then Rigondeaux's win on the Andre Ward versus Sergey Kovalev pay-per-view being overturned to a no contest. So I'm going to head on out to my co-hosts and introduce them, get their takes, bounce this one back and forth a little bit. You know the number 1-425-569-5241. Yeah, let me head on out to the Golden State.
Dalladivianasi Production.
This is a beautiful performance against a very tough guy in Michael Johnson. How do you feel about it?
Fuck yeah. Conor McGregor.
BoxingVoice.com.
You know me, Larry. From a wicked entrance, from a flip over the rock, into a knockout. When he said the main thing is, I just know the guy. I wish.
BoxingVoice.com.
I'm hurt, dog. Don't ask me if I'm all right. Hell no.
Yeah, it looks like the Nevada State Athletic Commission has a they screwed up. Like, I think the Nevada State Athletic Commission has screwed up, and that has upset me. I'm hurt. I think this is a travesty to Guillermo Rigondeaux. I thought that was a really great performance by him, and this could affect his negotiations with Lomachenko at a very crucial time in the negotiation process. This news comes out. Very interesting to see how that plays an effect. And then we have Huey Fury pretty much dictating the terms of the fight against Joseph Parker, getting that fight over in the UK. Can't wait to chop that up with you, Ness, Mr. Doomy Doomsday, and the rest of the callers on TBV.
Well, let's head on out to New Jersey. Doomy Doomsday, Alexander, what's going on, brother?
Doomsday in the building. Had a good sparring session today. Real happy. Happy to be here on the show today. Got this Rigondeaux turnover, man. I mean, should it have been decided right there and then? Should it have waited? I don't know what was the point. But, you know, with the obvious, you know, grab behind the neck and all the other stuff, I don't know why they called it a good and then now overturning it. But let's talk about this. And Parker versus Fury, right? Like, I'm thinking this is a great matchup for Parker, getting him ready for these, you know, bigger, rangier fighters. So, yeah, I'm excited, bro.
I think great matchup for Parker is probably the best phrase that comes to mind when thinking of Huey Fury. Not a challenge on
it's
the level.
Matchup. It's intriguing.
Yeah, but it's not a challenge on the level that we would have expect, especially with Deontay being so vocal that he wanted to unify. You would figure that a champion would want to also try and capitalize and do that unification. But let's get into the Rigondeaux news, because it is kind of the saddest news. You know, this guy, he's like, you know, every time we talk about him, man, we can't help but bring up the fact that he's been plagued in some way or another. The networks don't like him. The fans don't like him. He keeps winning. And now we've resorted to overturning his wins to make him less, I guess, appealing. The good thing is the punch was before the bell, and Chucky threw a punch is what they're officially saying. So they're not, you know, going to disqualify him. It's just going to be turned into a no contest. So he does keep his titles. And obviously you guys all know he was originally declared the winner when he knocked out, Miguel Flores? No, Moises Flores in the first round. Now, like Doomsday said, there was a little bit of grabbing behind the neck, but the actual punch that landed, there wasn't any grabbing there. But this was something that we had spoke about. You know, we kind of knew.
Very quickly, because you misspoke. You said the punch was landed before the bell. It was landed after the bell.
Really? If you go down here, let me see to this Bob Bennett.
It's literally the second paragraph of the article.
Yeah, it was after the bell, but both fighters were throwing punches after the bell. So
yeah, that's why it was not ruled a disqualification. Yeah,
they were both engaged, so exactly. they didn't rule it that way. But yeah, both punches were thrown after the bell. But since they were both engaged in throwing punches, you know, they didn't disqualify him and made it a no contest. Which I think, you know, whatever, you know what I mean? It's just, you know, they had the information then. Why overturn it now? I don't know.
Bob Bennett, and what you're alluding to, Ness.
I don't know if it's production stuff. You know, they were saying they couldn't see certain images from the truck, and we're waiting for the images from the truck to come in. You know, there was a lot of confusion and a lot of back and forth through the communication that they were having. So I don't know what really was it that stopped them from making that decision that night, you know. But whatever. The punch that knocked him out was a clean punch without the grab. So I don't know what, you know, exactly they based the decision off of, you know.
Well, very quickly, Bob Bennett, which is what you alluded to, Ness, before I cut you off, which I'm sorry about. Bob Bennett said that a unnamed technician in the production truck told him that the punch was landed before the bell. So that's why at the fight, during that fight, he said that the fight was a victory for Rigondeaux. But again, we all know that there was immediate replay for that fight. It was immediately under review by Draculich and Bob Bennett, the executive director of the Nevada State Athletic Commission, the highest ranking member of that board. So the fact that they had every angle available, they have all the angles that HBO had.
It's bullshit. If you read this Draculich statement, it says Draculich, who said he didn't hear the bell, did not have the full complement of the video and audio available to him when he reviewed the video at ringside following the fight. How could you not have audio and video if you're reviewing it ringside?
No, I think it's ridiculous. I think the entire situation is ridiculous. I think this was an entire situation of human error on both on the ref, on Bob Bennett's side. You can even argue about HBO's side and how they were portraying it all during the broadcast. There's a lot of just egregious human errors that were happening during this entire situation. And now it seems like they're making a no contest to sort of save face. That's my interpretation of what this move is. They don't want any sort of flack, so they're going to change it to a no contest, which basically wipes it from the resume.
Well, let's talk about this, right? Like, does that really take away? Is it really taken away from Rigondeaux? Or was Rigondeaux on his way of whooping some ass?
Rigondeaux's haters will use this. Rigondeaux's supporters will ignore it. That'll be my response to that.
My opinion. Yeah, right. I mean, my opinion, Rigondeaux was on his way to whooping some ass. The first round, look, it's not much you can gauge, right, at times. But when you're dealing with a boxer like
he was going to smoke him. He was going to dominate him.
Yeah, like I already seen Chucky coming in with those, you know, the only reason he was able to touch Rigondeaux, and I said this before, is because he's so rangy. He's long, you know, he's tall. But the punches that he was throwing, he was still reaching. So that's how, you know, I figured bringing down two more rounds, he would have had his range and timing, and he would have caught him with a shot like that. Because look, that was a close little choppy shot he caught him with. I mean, it was velocity behind the punch, but like, imagine like another straight left. You know what I mean? He would have got him with that punch regardless, in my opinion.
And also, I mean, this comes into question, like, what is the end of the round? You know, do we have clear ruling on what is the end of the round? Or what will happen? Do we have safeguards to what will happen when the ref messes up? Timothy Bradley, Jesse Vargas fight is a similar situation where the ref thought he heard the bell, but it was the 10-second clap. And he stopped the fight when Bradley was hurt, right? So we've had tons of situations where the ref has screwed this up or the fighters have screwed it up because they do not hear that bell. So
do you think Flores maybe messed up? Do you think that he was really knocked out to the fullest with that punch, or do you think maybe he was...
I don't even care about that because I think that's a... I think we can't... there's nothing we can say about that. We don't... I don't know Flores. I don't know what he was thinking. I can't get inside of his head.
No, you're real right. You're right.
That looked like a clean shot. So if he was down, I think he was really hurt. But anyways, back to my point very quickly. I think we need to change the ruling on the end of the round. Fighters need to defend themselves at all times. The end of the round is when the ref separates them. That needs to be how it's clearly stated. Because the idea that this bell, when there's 20,000 people in an arena, that you're going to hear it when your adrenaline's pumping is just not going to happen all the time. We're not going to get consistency with that.
That's pretty good.
There needs to be some sort of clearing up of the regulations and the ruling of a end of round. What constitutes the ending of a round? Is it the bell or is it the ref?
Or just for the safety of the fighter, right? Just so the fighter knows, like, okay, I hear the bell. It's not over
until the ref separates us.
It gives the fighter a peace of mind. I totally agree, Matt. That's a good idea.
Because there is this little ambiguity when the ref is clearly far away from the ring, from the action, I should say, in the ring, and the bell rings up and you guys are still throwing. What do you do? What's right? What's wrong? Should you throw it back because you're defending yourself? Or if you knock him out, it's going to be ruled no contest. So what should you do? I think there needs to be some sort of clearing up. The ABC, these athletic commissions, Queensberry, whoever the fuck controls the rules, they need to get on this. Hurry it up. This is a simple thing that can be fixed.
I guess. I mean, I think that the bell could be heard. I've been at numerous fights. I know the bell is heard. And it's kind of like an unspoken rule, or actually one that's spoken often. Protect yourself at all times. You know, it is what it is. But I get you. Any other safeguards that we could put to prevent accidents and incidents like this, it's always going to be a good thing. What I don't understand is how Joseph Parker, who is the WBO heavyweight champion, is being forced, is the word that this article is choosing to use. He's being forced to take his fight with British boxer Huey Fury to the UK after the latter's camp refused to fight in Auckland. Now, the last time I checked, when the opponent doesn't want to fight, the sanctioning body usually lets you move on. Yes. I'm going to assume that they sweetened up the deal. Now, before I even get into sweetening up the deal, let's just show you how shrewd the boxing business is. Fury was supposed to be fighting Joseph May 6th in Auckland and pulled out with a back injury that now he allegedly doesn't have anymore, and he's ready to fight because the fight's in the UK. I'm just saying. So, he's not necessarily being forced if they're fattening up his pocket, because the quote from Parker is, in the contract is what we want. And David has worked very hard to get the contract sorted, and now that it's ready and the date is confirmed, we're looking forward to going over to the UK and making a statement and putting on a great show. So whatever he got in that contract, it's got him happy enough to travel and fight his first big fight in the UK. I mean, it's only big because obviously Huey is from the UK, and you know, I guess he's going to move the needle.
Does he move the needle, though? I mean, is Huey Fury a star like his cousin is? I mean, he doesn't really pull that much traffic with our shows, to be completely honest.
Well, he's got a fight on July 8th at the Copper Box in London. I guess we could kind of take a gauge on how many people are cheering and what the crowd looks like on that one. But, I mean, I think usually the title fight for guys, especially in the UK, kind of attaches a little extra, you know. I don't know. They get a little extra excited.
But I want to know how, you know, you started this whole conversation with, you know, how did Joseph Parker get forced to go to the UK?
Well, he didn't get forced. It was poor choice words from the writer, I guess, to, you know, be provocative. But in actuality, it should be like Joseph Parker gets his pockets fattened. Because, I mean, obviously the quote is indicating.
We don't know. I mean, I don't know. We don't know the situation. I don't know the contract. I would assume so. Like you said, I would assume that there's his contract is probably more now due to him having to go to the UK than it would be for the May.
In the contract is what we want. So he obviously made an offer and they said, okay, we could facilitate you. Come on.
Do you think this is a bad move on Joseph Parker's side, a guy who has routinely gone to the scorecards in close fights, now going to the UK, fighting the hometown guy?
I would agree with you, you know.
It doesn't seem like a smart move, at least.
Yeah, but listen, at the end of the day, almost every single fan that's called into this show thinks of Joseph as the low-hanging fruit in that heavyweight division. So. Can he lose this title to someone of a bigger name and probably a little bit bigger purse, but it'll be more danger? This is a fight they think they can win, and it's probably going to be a good purse. So it's like the best risk and reward, whereas a Wilder fight, a Joshua fight, you know, a Luis Ortiz fight, Pulev, those guys have power, you know?
True.
We haven't seen that from Huey.
Yeah, that's why I think this fight's going to a decision. And that's why I brought it up. I think the idea that this fight is in the UK.
Yeah, but again, you got to ask yourself.
I'm automatically picking Huey Fury now.
But you got to ask yourself, if you're Team Parker, which fight do you have a better chance at winning?
True. But this is prize fighting. Which fight's going to earn you the most money?
Dude, you ain't getting it. This guy's a mandatory.
It's the WBO. Come on. Are we really talking about mandatories with the WBO like they matter?
Well, all I'm saying, it's a mandatory, so it's a certain percentage, right? So the big money is after this fight when he gets to negotiate.
Yeah, if he wins it.
Yeah, but he gets to negotiate a little more, right? Like, obviously, I'm assuming they fattened him up. I think they fattened him up to get him out there in terms of his pockets, lined him up right, you know?
I agree. Doomsday, any thoughts on this?
Well, I'm just recently, privy to this fight, but I know that it was trying to be made before. It's happening now, and I don't know how lucrative it is for both of them, but Joseph Parker being the champ, I'm thinking that this fight, as far as for him, is a good fight in preparation for, like I said before, for the taller, rangier fighters. I don't know who they have in thought for him. If they're thinking past Huey Fury, pretty sure that his management team and team, look forward to his future opponent. But he is a great opponent for Parker. I think Huey, he claims that he's never lost a round. he's won every single round of every fight, according to him. And
you sure you got the right Fury? You sure that Huey Fury says something like that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Look at the article, Boxing Scene. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, he has an actual shot with Joseph Parker. You know what I mean? I don't know how the fans are looking at it, what the odds are. You know, how people are looking at Huey as a competition towards Parker. But I think that he has a shot. He's tall, rangy. Let that stick out there. And if he plays it right, he could bring it back to the Tyson family, like he said. He keeps saying that he's bringing back the title to the Tyson family. Well, let's see. Let's see if he can do it. Joseph Parker's a strong guy, even though he's, there's a lot of tall heavyweights right now. So, he's as far as height, he might give up a little height on Anthony Joshua, Deontay Wilder, guys like that. But nonetheless, he comes in with good pressure. So we're going to see how he does with this tall guy.
Huey hasn't really had a decent fight to like give us that official barometer on him. So, this one's good because, again, like, you got to understand, this kid won the title off of a vacant fight with John. What is it? Joseph? Who's this kid? The other Andy Ruiz. So it's like, outside of Andy actually being in that vacant title eliminator or vacant title shot, nobody was talking about Andy Ruiz other than like, oh, he's a prospect that needs to get in the mix. And then he got thrown in the mix. No one was overly impressed with the way Parker won that fight. Then he goes out and, you know, fights a dude that was knocked out in the Boxino like 4 or 5 years ago. You know, but that was in lieu. He was waiting for this, these plans. I just want to check Fury's height because 6'6", that's about the Wilder size, I guess.
And also, I think it was mentioned by one of our callers on the Wilder show we had, where we had Deontay Wilder come on the show and talk about the Dillon White fight. I think they mentioned that after like the top three heavyweights, there's this, or top four, there's a massive drop off in talent. And all those guys are relatively at the same spot. The Dillon Whites, the Huey Furies, the Joseph Parkers, you know, you can Derek Chisora's, you know, all those guys, the Bermain Stiverns, all those guys are relatively.
I don't know that Huey Fury has put himself in the category.
In the eye level and in terms of the eye test, he seems to be at that level.
I don't know if he's put himself in the category with Chisora and Dillon White at this point.
I mean, he's beat guys like Fred Cassie, didn't he? Was it Cassie?
Yeah, it is Cassie. But that was April of 2016. What's interesting to note is that he's scheduled for a fight on the 8th, like I said, but also on the 15th and then on the 23rd with Parker. So I guess he's trying to get busy. But you know, look, it's a heavyweight title fight. And I know you hate BoxRec, but they got it as a 3-star fight, bro.
Out of how many stars? Five?
Five.
Yeah, it's just, I love this fight. To me, this is a fight between two highly touted prospects that just happens to be for a title. Similar to like a Jose Pedraza, Gervonta Davis fight. Like, neither guy was clearly the number one in the division, even though they were fighting for a belt. But it was two guys that I like, two guys that are obviously top 10, top 15 at that time. I don't even be hyped on that fight. That's what this is to me. And I think Huey Fury might be sort of that, obviously not the Gervonta Davis of the heavyweight division, but he might be that young guy with the very limited resume, get this big win over Joseph Parker and then propel himself to bigger fights. That's very possible.
And what's up with the change of location? Was it a really better move now in Manchester than it was in Auckland?
It's going to make more money.
What's the seating stadium in Manchester?
It's going to have more room in Manchester, without a doubt. You know, but it was.
I figured soccer stadiums out there, right?
No, it won't be in a soccer stadium. I don't think
it's more of a power play on the Fury's part, man. They were able to get that in the negotiations. But listen, let's go out to the callers after a quick word from the sponsors.
Fight fans, don't leave the decision in the hands of the judges. Download the Throwdown scoring app and receive live scoring, CompuBox stats, boxing predictions from other users around the world. Head over to your iPhone App Store or your Google Play Store and download it absolutely free.
Going out to Cali. Donald, talk to me.
What's up? Yeah, I kind of agree with y'all on this Parker-Hugo Fury fight. I mean, Hugo Fury, he might be Parker. Or then again, you know, maybe Parker is kind of little by little building his resume. Maybe he beats Hugo Fury. And even though Hugo Fury is not really a good person having a resume, but that's just another win on his resume. And maybe Parker can gradually step it up, but he's not really the type of heavyweight to where you would think that he's going to, you know, jump to like Deontay Wilder, but I mean, he could work his way there. You know, Hugo Fury could pull off the upset. And the thing about Reagandale, I was like, when you just said that right now, when the show came on, I looked on Box Record and I was like, are you fucking serious? Did they really do that? I mean, like you guys said, if they were going to do that, they should have did that shit right then and there. Like, how could you go all the way back into that shit and change that shit after that? I mean, that's crazy. And, you know, maybe that does. You know, maybe that does screw with the negotiation for Lomachenko. Already on top of the fact that we all know Lomachenko don't want no parts of Reagandale. And this could be like an excuse to be like, nah, you know what, you just got a no contest. Dude, I'm going to look for somebody else. Like, no. You know what I mean? Because I think Reagandale will fucking destroy Lomachenko. I think he'll land a big punch on him and that shit will be over. It'll be lights out, you know. But, you know, that's all I got for right now.
Donald, well, thanks for calling in as always. Man, he kind of was right on tune with you in terms of Rigo landing a left, but you said on Moises Flores, obviously he's talking more on Lomachenko. That is a fight that I want. That's definitely a fight I would be happy with. Rigo was out on his social media today taking more shots at, you know, Team Lomachenko and Bob Arum and everybody. He even, yo, this dude even put out, like, Top Rank's phone numbers. Like, yo, if you guys want the fight, here's the number to call them.
That's cool. Yeah,
I told you he's funny, bro. There's no joke over there.
Yeah, though, is that I was looking at it, and I think it's Klimas is the manager of Lomachenko.
Yes.
And he's had some tweet about something, and it had all these retweets and likes. And then Rigo has like five replies below it. And they all have maybe a tenth of the interaction that the Klimas original tweet had. It's just sad that Rigo doesn't get the love that some manager does. It's disappointing, you know, that Rigo got all this hate from beating a guy. He got all this hate from beating Donaire. That's insane.
You know, the thing is, if he had more consistency on TV, he would get that Mayweather effect where they hate him.
But they still watch.
They don't want to see him, but he keeps beating everybody, so they got to watch him. But since they can't keep him off TV, you know, the fights that he's fighting, they're not appealing. You know, it's only weirdos like you and me that are seeking out to watch him fight some Chinese dude somewhere in some place we never heard of. You know what I mean? But everybody isn't doing that shit. Nobody's waking up early to do that ridiculousness. But if you put him on TV, you know, we were speaking to Jamal James on Sunday. Guess who's fighting tomorrow? Jamal fucking James. Look, the kid made the bad mistake. He had to deal with Top Rank, but he had too many promoters when he was with Top Rank. So he tried to break free. And instead of fucking breaking free of the weirdos from his homeland, he breaks free of a fucking Bob Arum who's been doing this all his life. And made stars, you know? So he's on the outskirts. Then he signs with Roc Nation. And come on, bro. You know what Roc Nation is. They're like crash dummies over there, man.
But, you know, you can't really say that if he had got rid of all of his other promoters and stayed with Arum solely, things would be different. Arum was always sort of anti-Rigo.
I don't know if you, yes, he was. Yes, he was. I mean, but I don't know.
It's very hard to be promoted by somebody that doesn't like you.
Not when you keep winning.
No, it is. It's very hard. Your promoter needs to be on your side. Your promoter's supposed to be in your corner. He's supposed to be on your team. When he's not on your team,
maybe you're right. Well, maybe you're right. He still went to the wrong place after that.
I agree with that. I agree with that. But I'm saying that I don't know if Arum was the right place as well. All the places he's gone to are arguably the wrong places.
Yeah, the only right place, unfortunately, people call me a hater, they can call me a fanboy, but was PBC. That's the only place that, you know, people of his color will be fucking accepted. Like, they don't care. They put you on.
You don't have to put in those terms.
It is that. Get the fuck out.
No. You just say that the biggest names in his weight range are under Al Haymon.
But it's that.
He fought out guys under Al Haymon for a very long time.
But it's that. He's not on HBO because he's not the right color, because he's got two gold medals. How many does Lomachenko have?
Two.
Okay. He's got 300 fights. How many does Lomachenko have?
A lot. He has like 300.
He's got a better fucking win, okay? He beat Nonito Donaire at his prime. Lomachenko ain't beat nobody at nobody's prime. Well, I guess he did. I guess he did. Gary Russell.
Come on.
But come on, man. Look, it is what it is, bro. He spanked at Beko and people said it was boring.
Look, I'm not disputing that there's not a racial element to it. I'm just saying that you can even put that aside, and there's issues here for other reasons. You know, like that. That's all I'm saying.
How about just a simple reason that Rigondeaux's a monster?
No, because in the UK they don't care. In the UK they put him out.
Yeah, well, the UK is a booming market, and they want these elite, you know, fighters that, you know, the fans go crazy for. They're taking advantage of that. What I'm saying out here is that my belief is that just Rigondeaux is that good and that people don't want to put their fighters up against them.
That's absolutely true.
Everything we're saying is true. Like, not one of us is right and the other one is wrong. I mean,
like, all of the elements are included.
Yes. Rigo has a tornado effect of just bad things happening to affect his situation in boxing. And it's unfortunate because we all recognize the talent that he has.
I would so pay for Lomo Rigondeaux.
I would pay $100 for that.
I would pay for that.
No. I think that they know the amount of fights that we would pay for, but the problem is that that demographic that is willing to pay, the hardcores, is too small.
It is.
Which doesn't make any sense.
That's 50,000 people. That's Terrence Crawford.
Is it really 50,000? You don't think that it's the same 130, 160?
Even hardcores, like some people that will listen to this show, will stream it. I mean, you have... Because it's not only...
Yeah, we're in a different time, too, bro. Nobody's buying.
We're in the cord-cutting age. We're in the cord-cutting age where people hate paying for things. They want to stream it on their laptop or their TV or Apple TV or their phone.
Well, dude, it's on every Facebook fan... Every Facebook boxing group has every fight streaming, bro.
Yeah, they do.
Let me tell you guys this, or let me ask you real quick. What do you think Lomo thinks about facing Rigondeaux? You think really that he's like shaking in his boots? You think that he has a problem with facing Rigondeaux? I don't really think so.
It's the same thing with Canelo and Triple G. Like, I didn't think Canelo was shaking the boots, but you have people behind the scenes trying to dictate the chessboard. That's the same.
I just want to see when Lomo's gonna come out and respond. You know, I don't want.
He's pretty funny too. Lomo's pretty funny.
I don't want to see Egas talking. Egas is gonna say whatever he wants to say.
I want Lomo to speak. He's gonna say some funny shit. I'm telling.
Well, I think it's about that time to give your final thought, Matsky.
I mean, we pretty much just gave our final thoughts. Shout out to Rigondeaux, one of the pound for pound elites. A guy that if you want to learn boxing, just watch Rigondeaux tape. Watch Lomachenko tape. Watch Terrence Crawford tape. And you will start seeing excellence at the highest level of this sport. So shout out to Rigondeaux. Sorry that the Nevada State Athletic Commission screwed you over. Know that real boxing fans know that you knocked out Moises Flores, top 10 guy in your division in one round.
Who's still the mandatory, Matt, by the way, FYI.
Oh, my God. Moises Flores, go back up to 126. Go back up to featherweight because you won't make it at 122, brother.
What if he tries to reschedule it and shit?
No, you will die. Rigondeaux was going matrix on him, man. Rigondeaux was slipping every shot. That was one of the most insane one rounds I've ever seen.
He was looking good.
In terms of two guys in the top 10 fighting, and it looked that way.
Only a matter of time.
So shout out to Rigondeaux. Shout out to Joseph Parker, Hiri Fury. I know Nestor Gibbs does not like this fight for obvious reasons. But I love this fight. I think this fight is very intriguing. I don't think Joseph Parker is ready for the likes of Wilder. I think Joseph Parker will get knocked out. I think Joseph Parker is not ready for the likes of Anthony Joshua, Vladimir Klitschko, or Luis Ortiz. I think Joseph Parker needs a couple more fights. He is like a Gervonta Davis in a way, or Jose Pedraza. He needs a couple more build-up fights before he goes and unifies. And Hiri Fury is an excellent matchup. And shout out to the Furies for being bosses and strong-arming Joseph Parker into fighting in the UK. And I'm Matt Hipster Hunter. You can find me at Mixed Combat News on Twitter, Matt Hunter TBV on Instagram, my MMA podcast, Mixed Combat Radios on Patreon, SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, etc. Peace.
Well, definitely, man. Shout out to the master of the sport, Rigondeaux. I don't think that no contest is hurting him at all. I think most of us boxing fans know that he is that good, and it would have turned out the same way anyway. So shout out to him, like Matt said. And as far as the Parker and Fury fight, for me, I think Parker just needs to win very impressively so that he can show that he's ready for the next tier top level guys. And Huey, he gets a shot to bring the belt, you know, the original belt back to the Fury family. So good matchup for me. Styles make fights. I'm going to want to watch this one. Yeah, definitely.
Call Alex Puff the Magic Dragon the way he breathes into the mic.
Well, I'm getting sick. All right. So forgive me.
Call him the Bull.
Yo, no. I'm getting sick too, bro.
Yo, don't give me that getting sick.
And yeah, and then tomorrow I gotta go run up a mountain. You believe this shit?
No sickie when tomorrow's the mountain run.
Call me, I'm drinking tea already.
Yo, so listen, man. y'all know Rigo, man, and the love that he doesn't get. I'm gonna continue to root for Rigo, do little shows like this for Rigo, and hope that one day he smartens up, signs with the right people, and gets the proper exposure. You know, Matt said it best, right? If he went to Heyman because of the fighters, I mean, he's got everybody, right? Frampton is there, Leo Santa Cruz, Abdamarez, bro, man, Gary Russell. I mean, lists on and on. I don't even know. Rigo, matter of fact, Rigo, that's what you and your fucking...
No, no.
Whoever's no. advising you.
No.
Oh, fuck that, bro. How the hell are you not trying to sign with him or at least do business with him? Fucking Rigo. What the fuck? Don't you get it? Don't you get it at this point?
So much hate.
I'm just saying, bro. Fighting guys we never heard of. What was the last guy he fought? The one he broke his jaw. We all know he broke his jaw. We don't even know his name.
I don't. Sad.
Not even the first name, bro. And this guy, Moses, I called him Miguel. Like, Rigo needs to drop his boys, man. Drop your boys, bro. Drop your boys. And he's getting old. It's getting late. Let's just stop fucking playing. I'm just saying. Yo, my name is Nesta Gibbs. Find me on Instagram and Twitter at NesGTO. Check us out on Patreon to catch more exclusive shows and some dope sparring footage for Border Wars. It's going down in about 14 days exactly, ladies and gentlemen. It's
coming for you, Team Canada. Coming for you.
They ain't training like we training. You know what I'm saying? All work is easy work. Hard work, dedication. We out.